pipes. If you got good beer, here a little tip that I would like to relate. I said, man, fish pipe, if you got good bait, I'm
home fishing. Well, I don't know that we're going to be talking about much bait fishing, but we are going to be talking about fishing. Leaf is here. How you doing, man?
Not too shabby. How you doing, Depp?
I am doing pretty good. I mean, I was wondering the other day, you know, are we going to call this maybe the morel mushroom hunting report?
That's what I was thinking, too. You know, there's been a lot of good morel fishing out there, too.
You know, I was, I don't know what I was doing the other night, and Mahoney was playing around with her. Well, you're not getting headphones?
No, I'm not.
Well, let's see here.
Maybe I'm just not plugged in.
Well, I don't know. You should be, but...
That's all right. I don't need them. I can hear myself talk.
Yeah, try those other ones there. See if they're working. Okay. Are you there?
No, but that's all right.
Oh, that's weird. Well, we'll work on that later. Yeah. Okay. It is fun to wear headphones, though, isn't it?
Oh, I like to rock out with headphones on.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, it's been great, though. The morel season has been great. I think it's been like probably at least 5 or 6 years since I saw one of those seasons come together where it was so good.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know. That's what I keep hearing. I'm planning to go out Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from my take, you gave me a bunch of mushrooms the other day, and I've got like a couple of quarts of
Did you manage to do anything with all that?
Oh, well, I ate them every night.
A lot of it in your belly?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. But then I dry them, and they're just so easy to deal with as dried.
Yeah, I love that.
And I could see, okay, well, this is a year where I'll be able to get a year's supply here in one picking, basically.
Oh, yeah.
One
yeah,
day
I
out.
Think so.
They're everywhere. And they're
we've
just
been averaging, you know, like maybe 10, 15 pounds or more per person some days out there.
Well, I'm only picking for two people, so I'm thinking one good day out, and I'm hoping that it's a nice day Sunday, but we'll see how that is. But
I'm pretty much stocked for the year, so I'm back to focusing on the fishing.
Well,
and finally the lakes are clearing up.
Well, yeah, now that's, you know, now last time we ended up with you talking about a little bit of winter kill.
Yeah.
Are you finding out more about how that went?
Just kind of, seeing the scope of it. I would say that the winter kill we had in our lakes here was pretty widespread, wider spread than I'd seen it in quite a while, although not complete in every case. I would say it was complete or nearly complete in Aspen. And Dibble Lake, definitely a good chunk of fish died there in Big Twin, which have been replaced with some catchables. And then, definitely some died in Little Twin and Frost Lake, although I've seen fish in that same age group still living. So it was, you know, not complete, but definitely we lost some of the holdover fish in some of these lakes. And I'm not sure about... Cougar. I tried to drive up there the other day, to drive through Cougar actually to get down into Campbell that way, which was totally impossible. So out of all three ways into Campbell, they're all closed.
Okay.
I can tell you that for sure. Cougar, I stopped just briefly and the water was still turned over there. I didn't really want to spend my time on that one. I saw no fish moving. I didn't see any fish dead either though, which you'll a lot of times see on the side of the lake where they kind of blow up or blow by the wind to the end of the lake or whatever onto the beach. But so I don't know. There could be some fish in there. It is a little sketchy getting in there. In that there's just a couple rutted parts to the road, big rocks down by Perigin Creek where it crosses that down lower. And the boat launch is washed out about 50 yards before the lake, which had been kind of working again after the fire and floods. But last year or whatever, this spring, it kind of hit it again. So you're not going to be able to drive your boat all the way into that one, but you will be able to easily walk smaller boats like tubes and pontoons in there.
Yeah. I think there will be a fair amount of walking in. I mean, just the way the weather is coming with a little bit of precip and warm temperatures, it's just going to be that way.
We could see some volatile weather and definitely some heavy flow coming out of the drainages here still.
Which then brings up, we do have rivers opening up on Memorial Day everywhere, but they may have a fair amount of water in them.
Yeah, right now, you know, we kind of hit a spike there. We just touched 15,000 a couple times there a few weeks ago in what was just really the top layer of our snow up in the high country. Yeah. And now we're coming up on some pretty warm weather. We're sitting at about 6,000 CFS as we talk today. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that we'll get back over 10. I wouldn't even be surprised if we saw 20,000 with a higher spike here coming up.
Remind me, what's the sort of the prime fishing range for cubic feet?
Really, prime fishing range on the Methow is right around 500 to 700 CFS. But I find it gets fishable for me.
100.
And it spends most of its time at that. You know, this is just a early spring runoff river traditionally, or, you know, that's how it usually should be. Just when the runoff happens in the spring from the snow, if it doesn't kind of gradually melt off all winter by getting rain when it should have snow, you know, and staying higher through the winter. What you should really just see is one big push in the spring that slowly slides off and hits that 300 to 500 to 700 by about August or September, and should stay that way until the following March, April, May, somewhere in there before it picks up again.
Averagely speaking,
with climate change or the global warming, even though it doesn't exist, or however you want to look at that one.
Yeah.
We don't really see that classic flow anymore. And if you overlay a lot of our recent ones on top of the 60-year average, they don't really fit.
Really?
But, you know, I find personally, even though it fishes best at that, you know, 5 to 700, I can get fish out of it at, you know, 3 to even here at 6,000. It still looks like there's some very fishy spots to me.
Yes, but you're a guy who knows the fish, knows the areas, knows, let's face it, the fish are in there.
Uh-huh.
Whether or not you can entice them to rise up and hit.
Right. Well, you know, you just got to put it in front of them. And, you know, I would say that there's two things, though, really involved in this one that I always try to stress. It's like, you know, catching fish is one thing, but being safe is a complete another thing here. And right now it is a river that you would really need to approach with a lot of caution. If you're even thinking about boating, you should probably have some pretty good boating skills, or be with someone who does. If you're on the bank, don't even bother trying to wade. Just get what you can from standing there toes or ankles deep, because it's just too fast right now to approach. But, you know, on the flip side, the fish will kind of get concentrated into these back eddies, slacker waters.
Yeah.
The few that there are there can be super concentrated with fish. I've done relatively short sections of river and spent up to 9 hours in that higher water catching fish out of just like 5 holes, you know, and just sitting at each one of those for a couple hour or two each, catching fish the whole time. So it just changes up the style of fishing.
So, you know, I noticed the other day when I was sort of scripting ahead for PSAs that are coming up, that in June 10th, they're having a fishing day out at the National Hatchery.
Correct.
And I noticed one thing on there, it said fly tying.
Yeah.
And it made me wonder about you. Are you involved with that?
I will not be doing the tying there. I think it is someone that is in my my club there, the Methow Fishing Club, or the local club there, one of my brethren.
Yes.
We'll be doing that there. But also, as an aside, there is something happening the weekend before that. I don't know if you've talked to Sarah about this here at Twistworks, but it's kind of being gotten together by, I think, the Methow Arts or whatever. And we'll be doing something, I believe it's June 3rd, the weekend before. It's a Saturday, and it's a really cool thing because we're going down to John Crandall's project down there at the Old Twisp Highway, and we'll be doing some planting with kids.
This
is all about kids, you know, in that, I'll probably mess this up, but I think it's somewhere in that 9 to 14 range. And so we'll be doing, kind of focusing on what is great about that project. We'll be doing some planting, checking out all the awesome riparian growth that he's managed to put back alongside that side channel, checking out the side channel itself, which they managed to reopen. We'll be doing myself, Sarah, and I know Kevin Van Buren from the other local fishing guide company is going to be out there too, maybe with a couple of his guides. And we're just going to be doing what we can to kind of show the kids everything we know about casting, fly tying, even a little bit of entomology. I think I can hope to talk my buddy Bob into doing some of that, my personal bug guru. And just be a great opportunity for the kids to learn about the value of re-enhancement, and about how we see it, and get a chance to learn a little bit about fishing.
So there's something there to put on your day planner for June 3rd, and then again June 10th.
Yeah,
and
this definitely one, come to both if
yeah,
you can.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And the one on the 3rd, that's on what I call the Loop Road that has right. the Methodist Church on it. It's yeah. on one end of it. There is an enhancement program that's gone on out there. And I you know, truthfully, I haven't been out on mm-hmm. it yet, but I think there's...
I was out there picking mushrooms the other day.
Oh, yeah. So, well, there is. What else is there? I mean, is there some sort of
well, there's just
information
kinda,
station?
Yeah, there's a little bit of an interpretive spot there. As you first walk in, there's a parking area kind of halfway through that loop road. You'll see it with yeah. like log fences around it. And then it just has trails through the through all the riparian spots and really, quite frankly, to some great fishing holes in the summertime. So it'd be mm-hmm. a good spot to learn.
Okay. Well, there you go. So
yeah. And, you know, check out that National Fishing Day there at the hatchery. That's always great. Going to have multiple activities for the kids there, and they'll get to catch and take home a lunker and maybe even win a prize if they catch a tagged fish. I'll be there trying to do what I can as well.
Oh, cool.
Last year, I was even pulling the hook out of back of one dad's head. That was pretty interesting. But yeah, you know, if you need any fishing tips or you want to book a trip, things are getting into full swing, and I'd love to get you out. Just get a hold of me at 509-429-7298. Or methowfishingadventures@gmail.com, or you can check out our blog or podcast at Fly Fishers Pro Shop. And hey, y'all, keep that sunblock on, take care of one another, and get that fish right on.
I said, man, the fish bite, if you got good bait, I'm gonna fish it. My mama gonna fish it, baby gonna fish it too.